We're in Luke 8. I'm going to backtrack a little bit here. It's really the concentration of the seed and sower ears. Today we'll be focusing on the focusing on the thorny and the good ground, which is the finishing up of the parable itself, verses 14 and 15. But we are going to backtrack a little bit here. So let me just get to my setup here. Luke and Luke 8. 10% on the iPad and 16% on the iPhone. So,
16%?
I don't know. It's just the battery's dying.
Do you have cord,
Brad? I'm good. We should be good. I think I'll make it. Father God, I just pray, just as Pastor Mike and I prayed on the phone. No religion here tonight, God. What do you have to say to the church here, God? And I just ask, God, for me to speak through your spirit, not through just myself, God. Just what I think, God. And let this edify us, Lord. So much of this, what are you doing here? We're edifying for the sake of the kingdom growth, Father God. And as I've been praying, God, for the increase of our church, God, I just pray this is part of it, Lord, that we take this and apply it, God. And that's really what the good ground is. It's the application. It's the one that applies the word. So I just pray, God, give me wisdom tonight, God, and help me to speak some truth. Speak and seek. So I'm just going to, again, quickly go through as we approach to the very end. It's going to be Luke 8. I'm going to read 4 all the way through to 15, just as a repeat, because there's some things that, as we talk about the thorny ground, the good ground, how they kind of, the kind of comparison to what you would see in the former, so to speak. And I'm calling this the executing the Heimlich maneuver. Because we as a church are choking, and we need to stop choking. Verse 4, when a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. The other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is a parable, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now this parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. As I did my study, there was a lot of differences between the New King James, NKJV, the KJV, and the NASB. So there's a little bit of insight, I think, in all of them. So we got a total of 4 categories here. Again, we've talked about these before. 2 of the categories are short-lived or not lived at all. One of which, of course, is the seed that the devil comes and grabs it. Nothing happens. These people are just blank. They stare at us with deer in headlights. It's just, nope, nothing takes. They don't even declare themselves as Christians. And the other is the two-monthers, as Rev would call them. The ones that last for 2 months. Again, that all depends. They can vary, of course, but they're the ones that kind of jump up in joy, you know, and in the midst, and then when persecution comes, or, you know, hard times comes, they fall away. And it's very short-lived. And it's funny, because even kind of thinking about that, I'm currently writing my script, and that's one of the first, is this character who's in my script, and his name is Avery, as he moves through the process of you know, his salvation. The first thing he notices is this person that he brings to Christ on the streets, and this person is, you know, full of joy, and then all of a sudden he falls away, and he's like, this is where he's sort of experiencing this, like, oh my goodness, like, what's that all about? You know, this guy was on fire, you know. And anyway, but now we got these other two categories here that we're going to talk about, and I like to, you know, it's four, and I like to split it two and two. Again, no one's got dates on this. Nobody said, you know, I just said it was just an estimate, 2 months and all that for the, you know, yeah, one that doesn't last at all, one that lasts 2 months. I'm not saying they last 2 months. I'm just saying they're short lived, so to speak. But the other two are the beside the road. I'm sorry, you got the beside the road, they hear the devil speaking close to the road, quickly grabs the seed from their heart, and they got the rocky soil. Again, they get that joyful ecstasy of temporal excitement, and then, you know, they basically fall away, and there's no nutrients. They're surviving on the subsoil, the soil, but not the subsoil. The rocks, you know, they don't go deep enough. The root never goes deep enough, but when it goes deep, it hits the rocks. So it's once that moisture of that soil on the surface dries up, it's just, you know, gone. Without the root, there is no fruit. Without the deep root, there is no fruit. Again, so we got the other two categories. These are the ones of longevity. One is fruitful, and the other one is dead. The soil among thorns and the good soil that produces crazy amounts of fruit. How are these two categories different than the previous two? These have actually fallen into the soil. They are in the soil, and they're not. They don't die quick. They go on. They move on. They exist. They're in there. They're growing for a longer time than you imagine. They don't just dry up really quick. So when you look at our church, you look at churches, but specifically our church, it's safe to say, you know, whatever church it is, the people is in a long-standing congregation, you probably have either one of the two, one of those two most likely. You're probably going to fall into one of those two categories. The seed fallen among thorns, again, we've heard over and over again that it kind of explains that they go on their way. That's what it says within the verse. You know, it's really just means that they go on. It doesn't necessarily mean that they go in the way of, like, their own way, but they're moving on, they're going on. Again, not dying, you don't die immediately next to the road, or you don't fall away from temptation. But you're hitting the road, Jack, and you're not really looking back no more. And then the seed among the thorns, again, lives and continues to grow. Thorns are indigenous. I don't know if you guys know this. They're indigenous within the heart soil of every person. Doesn't matter if you're a believer or not believer. They're always going to be there. So again, these are the cares of the world, or the deceitfulness of riches. Again, this kind of paranoia of money, or the need for money. It's not a question, it's what we buried under our heart soil even today. And these are the following chokers. These are the chokers that if we allow, a lot of this has to do with basically allowing God to churn up the ground, to allow the rain to come, to soften up the ground. When we used to work in landscaping, we'd always be happy on the days that we'd have to, what is that thing where you had to hedge. Was it the hedge? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd be so happy on the day that it rained previously. It could be like... Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I'd be like, all right, this is easy, easy, easy goings. Or if we had to do dig ditches and so forth, we had that one Jewish gentleman. We used to always have to dig and build, I forgot what it was, like these long logs or whatever. And it's like, as long as it rained the night before, we'd be like, all right, cool. So, in the midst of that, the question is, you know, we should be aware of where are these chokers in our lives? Do we see these chokers? The chokers that the Bible describes are the worries. One of them is worries. So as you kind of look through this, you gotta, you know, imagine yourself as a plant in the midst of your feet are sticking in the ground. And you're gonna look around on your thorn, look around for thorns around you, and do these thorns exist in your life? Paying the bills, getting money. To lead to the kids, worrying about terrorism, getting a wife, having to trying to, you know, thinking about children, finishing college with a good GPA. That's for Dallas, if he's listening. Building your business to remain to be sustained, even in the midst, you know, even economic, you know, you're changing your the economy and so forth. I got my just thinking about my mom, who's like all concerned right now about her retirement. You know, just trying to count her pennies and all this. And you know, I always kind of wonder what would happen if the whole thing fell through tomorrow. I mean, she's planning, you know, smart, but at the same time, there's all that dependence that I got to get that. You know, I'm kind of counting the money. How much am I going to have if I get canned? You know, can I retire at this age or that age? You know. Again, believing you are the master of your mammon, you control the output. It makes you kind of push to, you know, you spend so much time in that. And God has convicted me of this, like, so much. Because there's always that rainbow at the end of the hill. It's like, if I could just get these bills paid, God. Like, if it's just, you know, we all have debts. We've got car payments, you know, all types of stuff. More than ever nowadays. But it's always that looking over that hill, like, where am I going to get to that hill and pay off these bills, you know? It's just, it's one of those things that just can drive you. And even for me right now, I'm trying to finish this tutorial, and I'm just like, I know this tutorial is going to make a crap load of money, excuse my French. And, oh my gosh, my battery is going to die. I'm at 1%. We'll see what happens. I might have to switch over to the phone. So, the worries. Now you got the riches and pleasures of this life. Deceitfulness of riches. That's what it is. Not riches. God can pour out riches upon us, but it's the deceitfulness of riches. It's, again, not money, but the love of money. We all depend on having money to survive. The pursuit of riches. Riches doesn't mean we strive to become fat cat rich. It just means we pursue money or gain, you know, to move up the ladder. Pleasures, again. God may pour out our riches on you, and then we can take those and buy pleasures, pleasures of this life. Again, they're not a lot under the radar a lot, but you don't even think about, you know, look around you. How much time do you spend in pleasure? What's frightening is I've met Christians who pursue things ungodly. They live for pleasure. Again, this is something where you're not necessarily choking to death. You know, when we're talking about choking, when the Bible's talking about choking to death, it's really talking about, and there goes my goodness.
Your face just...
What's that?
Your face just lost the light.
We're switching over 16% here. We're going to tiny text. Let's see here. Excuse me. All right, here we go. I believe God wants to pour out blessings upon us, but again, we got to watch this whole pleasures of this life. And like I said before, you can some people might go like, oh, I'm choking and so forth. Sometimes if somebody's crying out and they're like, oh gosh, I need this, I need that, I need this from God, that's not choking, that's waking up. That's giving yourself the Heimlich maneuver. Again, you can be choking and not even know it. And you could be choking on your own lusts, your own desires, your own comfort. I find more than anything, God has been convicting me and proclaiming this to the church that we sit in too much comfort. Way too much comfort. I think of our prayers. I listen to our prayers. And I go, are we praying? You know, we could. I don't know what it is about me, but I never... I don't like prayer. I don't know. I'm okay with prayers that are like blessing people, but I have a problem with prayers that are always about like, oh, help this person. They're going through this financial hardship right now. They're not as saved or nothing. You know, I'm thinking, do whatever you got to do, God. I'm like, stop trying to bring them comfort. Stop. I think we should stop praying for people that need more of Jesus to be in comfort. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's what it is. There's nothing wrong with people that are going through trials or family members that are having these issues or people that are, you know, sick with pneumonia or something. We need to pray for them, obviously. But when it comes to they're going through this hard time, I'd be like, why are they going through that hard time? You know, is there a purpose to this? Can God use this to change them? Again, one of the things of how we know whether or not we're living for our pleasures is our prayers are full of pleasures. They're more, they're looking towards us and not others, you know. It's not just prayers. You can be praying for other people and still be praying for pleasures because you're praying that they get well and then they're good company with you and you just have good company and that's it. We could have this nice, peaceable, you know, get everybody healthy so we're good for potluck Sunday, you know. So I can enjoy all those wonderful delicacies. Jesus once saw a tree. It was just there. It wasn't dying. It wasn't wasting away. It wasn't like, oh. It just had no fruit on it. That's the thing. It wasn't a dead tree. It was a tree with no fruit. And he said, look at this tree, you know. He said, look at this tree, it's dying. He said, look at this fig tree, you know, there's no fruit. You know, and it's been cursed. Mark actually adds the lust of other things. There's the lust of other things. It could be anything. Anything. Okay, it could be a woman, a man, a, you know, types of thing. Like a camera. Like I'm like, I want to get this camera. And God had to deal with me. You ain't getting that camera until you need it. So. You know, what's interesting about all of this is sometimes the devil, even for me, will bring that spirit of Calvinism in. And it's very scary. Because when I read these verses, you kind of can get, he can go into that realm of like, well, this is all predestined, and you're all predestined, and you're all predestined. And these people, you know, they're not going to hear. Because I'm thinking to myself, he's speaking, and God showed me like, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and warning them about these aspects. He's saying these are things. It's basically a big road mark. It's not saying, Jesus is not saying it from disciples and saying, yeah, you know, these people, they're all screwed up. They're either this, or this. You know what I mean? I think the reason why we read this, because we know the world doesn't read if it's not saved, is because we can become that. And it becomes back, it pulls me back to the understanding that he's warning the church. He's warning his disciples. And it's really about, again, we come back out of Calvinism, out of this predestination to free choice, you know, free will. Again, it feels like more of a warning to believers. It's a good warning because we can very easily, if not more than anything, have so many thorns in us. But we can very easily, in my opinion, identify thorns if we just take a look at what consumes our time, what consumes our thoughts, how much time is it really about the kingdom, not about the church's well-being, but the kingdom of God. and the expansion of the kingdom of God and the glory of God. Talk about a mindset shift, you know. And so many times I hear so many prayers of, you know, and it's always about, let's just get through the day and let's get through the day, and you know, and not so much, Lord, bring your glory, because bringing your glory is going to change all of this, and it's not circumstance that's going to make it, that's going to change who we are and our circumstance. Circumstance will not change our circumstance. Does that make sense? The circumstance inside of us will be changed by God. And it doesn't matter what our circumstances, what our financial situation is. I have been trying, even the last couple of weeks, I've been pulling myself to get back into reaching out to people, whether at a grocery store or at a store. I'm like, God, tell me, what do you want to speak to? Who is this? You know. And I have gone into a season where I've kind of neglected that, where I've just been like, oh, just surviving. And I'm so tired of that. I got to a point where I'm like, I've had enough. Even today, I wasn't even prepared for my class. And I'm like, I'm not prepared for my class, God, and I got to get this message. I was like, don't worry. And what's beautiful is I come to class, and the whole class wasn't prepared themselves. So I'm like, well, we'll do another week. Everybody's, you know, and they're all like, well, thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm like, no, thank you. Because you know? I didn't know what I'm doing. No, hopefully they don't read this. But, yeah, it's just like, oh, gosh. It's like, all right, God. And it's the God's grace in the midst of just trusting and not being like, oh. Personally, I'm at a point now where I'm like, I don't care if I lose my job. Not that I'm like looking to get canned or nothing, but it's just a matter of just like, I'm so tired of worrying about mammon. And I'm taking my time with this tutorial. I'm like, whatever. I'm here. I don't have anybody screaming at me to get out of their household or anything like that, you know. So I'm just like, let go, let God, and spend more time in God's presence. Again, I think this is a big warning sign for the church. You know, Jesus is not just talking to the disciples. He's also talking to Judas here, you know. Judas is listening in on this whole conversation. It's like, you know, and Judas fell away. So all of our soils, to a certain degree, have possibility of these thorns or this attachment to the world. When we get saved, we are bulldozed by God's plow. I think we get a fresh plowing. I kind of think back when I got saved, and it's kind of scary because I think it was less than a month after I got saved, I was commanding you guys to go on the streets of Chicago. With, you know, like let's get a bullhorn and preach. I mean, it's just you know. I remember when I was at my work. I was going to lunch every day, planning to witness to everybody that I could. I was probably going overboard, but again, it was just like this, you know, fervor. It was like, you know. Yes. And over time, I've seen the slow complacency of the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. Watch people get so calm, and they're choking. They're already choking. They don't know they're choking. So again, God gets in there when we're saved, rips up the ground, it's soft. Again, we read the Bible cover to cover. We're humble. In a way, we're kind of like, what's going on here, God? And there's a healthy fear of the Lord in that midst, too. I remember when I got saved, it was such a, you know, I'm still learning who God is in the midst of this. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this? I got to be careful, you know. And I'm thinking, where's that sort of like sobriety, you know? Again, though, is there a remnant of these thorns still in our hard soil? Are they growing up and growing out and coming around and entangling us and choking us up? And they're only there because we allow them to be there. Given time, they'll snake around the roots and they'll come up as shoots. Again, I hear the Christians barely making it. Barely making it. Oh, I can't make it. Yeah. Are they suffocating on their own desires? That's what I wonder. You know? Again, they're rat race, worrying about keeping up with the Joneses. God can sometimes smack the plow up against our soil, but if we're hard, he'll keep smacking us, and it actually can create a spirit of offense. And you're kind of like, why are you doing this? And you can get more and more hardened unless you allow for that plow to come through and break up the soil and soften it up. Otherwise, it's just going to be ground that the sower will move around it. God's not going to spend an eternity trying to plow hardened ground. He's going to move on. He's going to plow other ground that he knows that he can produce fruit. And I believe that is a warning for all of us, because if we stay so hard for so long, so arrogant in our false humility, then we're asking for it. Again, we make excuses not to get into prayer or personal worship. We're too busy. We need to get stuff done. Crying out loud, we got bills to pay. And again, I just ask God to kind of slow me down. The cares, riches, the pleasures are really three types of but one thing. This life. So much about this life and not about the life after. It's not about the kingdom. So when you think about cares, riches, pleasures, it's about this life. Concentration is on this life, not the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things shall be given unto you. It's funny. You just do that, everything else will be provided for. I mean, we could make the assumption, seek ye not the kingdom, and all these things will not be added unto you. So, I mean, it's just such a simple reality. Weeds always grow faster than the seeds. And we have in our heart soils these thorns, and if we allow them to choke us up, to grow, we're going to be in trouble. And they grow fast, like I said. You know where it says in there, it brings forth, when it talks about the thorns, it says, it brings forth no fruit to perfection. If that is not a picture of Christians today, it's about maturity. Some translations say maturity. A childish, again, this is sort of like this childish attitude, always teeter-tottering between sin and godliness, always begging for God's mercy upon screwing up. Instead of just living the abundant life, the free life, the life that God has for us, always riding that line. Verse 15, but the one that fell on the good ground are those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart. Keep it and bear fruit with patience. How quickly we run over that verse and not see specifically what words are talking about. It's two words that pop out here are noble and good, right? So whenever I see those words, here's the success, right? Why don't we do a word study? So the word noble is kelos in the Greek, of affinity, properly, morally virtuous, fair, good. It has a good, pleasant, agreeable, joyful, and happy. So there's a joy, right? Kind of familiar with the, stony ground. There's that kind of joy, but there's an agreement. Mm-hmm. There's an agreement there. So again, that's the noble. And then the good is ketek. It's K-A-T-E-C-W. I don't think I can pronounce that. Ketek. Meaning hold fast. Take hold. Possess. Retain. Seize. And in the very mention of patience is then... it's sort of like the ending note on this sort of fruit. And there is impatience when it comes to the thorny ground. It's like, why am I broke? That's it. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. You know, I can't begin to tell you in the last week how I've been tempted on all sides to leave this church by opportunities of employment in other places. I've had my boss at Columbia, and he's just like, you know, you should really go over to Purdue and get your degree. I'm like, I'm not getting my science degree. I probably wouldn't make it anyway. You know, he's like, well, he's like, I got my church. I'm a leader at the church. And he'd be like, well, you know, that's needed everywhere. You know, and I'm just sitting here going, why are you doing this? This guy's not saved. I don't think he's saved. He claims to be a Christian. I think he's very close. I'm trying to speak truth to him, but he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. He just seems kind of like one. And I got my dad on the phone. You get that master's? You know, you're gonna get that. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know. It's always like, go here, get out of here. I'm like, oh, go away. But patience. So many times, how many people have we seen within our church have walked off because of patience? Mostly because they're like looking for a mate. Like, I've had enough of this. They're not satisfied in God. There's no satisfaction in God. And to a certain degree, and I think a lot of this has to do with us as well. We became a little bit religious, you know. And they're just like, well, I'm going somewhere else. I'm fine. So, you know. And as much as I do believe Pastor Mike has preached the gospel very clearly, there's been a lot of people, regardless if this sort of just, you know, looked for better, just out of impatience, basically. But again, it's the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches. We had people going into scams and so forth, trying to make money, trying to make an extra buck and so forth. I don't know. But again, there's the big thing here is patience. And boy, this is never an age where we need patience. So much patience. Patience between each other. Patience in as we wait on God. And this has been the biggest time of a test of patience for every one of us. This has been a huge patience test. but in the midst. But it can either be a time of like idleness or it can be a time of breakout. You know. And patience can lead us to grow weary and move us to, again, exuberant time in the pleasures of the world. There are many times where we kind of had enough of this, hitting the virtual reality, or I come home, I'm like, you know, instead of running to God's presence, I'm just like, where's that deep dish pizza at, you know? Mm-hmm. So, again, we find rest in the midst of the patience in God's presence. Or we take the impatience and turn it into idle time of pleasures of the world instead of pleasures of being in the presence of God. We increase our workload and become Marthas running around the kitchen. It's interesting in that verse 15, it says, upon hearing the word. Upon hearing the word. When we hear the word of God, we need to keep it. It's upon the moment that the word hits us that we got to go, we got to grab it, we got to keep it. We got to, like, exactly what we're seeing here, writing it down, not forgetting it. Thank you, Melissa. And again, that has to do with detaining it, you know, keeping it. I looked it up. It means to restrain it in our hearts, absorb it. It will be the keeping of the word of God, which is a seed. It's more seeds. Keeping God's word will be the catalyst for the growth of our fruit. It's interesting. You sort of get the feeling that the fruit really only exists in the realm of maturity. And it doesn't mean how old you are or your age. Okay. Right? It's just a matter of real fruit is with maturity. In other words, a full growth and expansion into following God and not having anything you know, not having the thorns and the mists or the, you know, just not going deep enough. It's really about the full maturity. It's never, so many times in the Bible, and I'm going to go over some verses here that kind of talk about child, the, you know, kind of getting out, get out and getting childish ways out of you. Let's bring forth fruit to perfection, to maturity. What does it look like? It doesn't look like waving back and forth on edge. Mature fruit has deep roots in Christ. They don't act childishly. A lot of the times that we've had to deal with things in our church have been just childish stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Steeped in emotion. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:15. Brothers, do not be childish in your thinking, be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. That's 1 Corinthians 14:20, 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. So there is the reality that if we are to be mature, which is the actual existence of fruit, contrary to having no fruit, it's just a matter of giving up, sacrificing childish ways. So that we may no longer be tossed to and fro by the waves and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is head into Christ. Hebrews 5:12. For through by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. Hebrews 6, 1-3, therefore let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and on faith towards God, and of instruction about washing and laying of the hands, resurrecting dead, eternal judgment, and this we will go on if God permits. Here's more about patience. Romans 5, 3-4, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So again, look around for thorns, count the ears of pleasures in your life, the shoots of cares in your life. Do they outnumber the fruit count on your tree? Kingdom fruit. And what is kingdom fruit? Is it really about success? Is it really about happenstance, happiness? Or is it about joyfulness in the midst of trials and seeing us? I mean, number one thing we kind of think about when we talk about fruit is really just multiplication of the kingdom, you know, going out and making disciples. And preaching the word. And that's one thing that God has been putting on my heart, even in prayer last night, was how lazy we are when it comes to outreach. And assembling the twos and threes and getting ourselves together and going out and outreaching. As much as we did operate in a lot of religion out there, one thing I appreciate about him was that he was always about getting out and preaching. And I think that is something that we need to return to more than anything. But at the same time, we need to go out and walk. And I'm just as guilty. I'm not saying, oh, I'm blaming somebody else. I'm like, it's like, you know, we just so much of it was flesh, and not none of it was really, you know, getting within the presence of God and really hearing for what He has to say, and also being patient. What I like about Pastor Rodney Brown is he'll go 10 minutes without anything said, and he'll just wait for the Spirit to speak to him, and I'll speak. You know, he takes that time to listen. Again, our prayers are inward. Let's move our prayers more outward. Despite our circumstance, yeah, we got prayers that need to be lifted up. that about our circumstance more than any right now. But how much of our prayers are, God, let's see a miracle in the midst of this. That's not going to, I'm not going to be concerned, Lord. If I'm doing your kingdom work, you will provide. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason why we're not being provided for probably is because we are not seeking his kingdom. Again, we are very comfortable Christians. And it's the and that's pride. It's not, don't confuse that. You know, we kind of just kind of hide our pride with, oh, the bruises of the world that have holding us down. It's like, we got no excuse for that. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So despite what gets thrown at us, temptation, trials and so forth, well, God still sustains us. He's not beating us over the head. We're like, we can't make it. We can't take the time to actually go out and establish an outreach. Or on our day-to-day, going to the marketplace, trying to outreach to people. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. But if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently in his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I want to be blessed in my doing. I don't want to, I've gone out and I've just, I got to get, you know, let's just do things, God, you know, and I've seen myself fall flat on my face, and I don't want that. But at the same time, I want to be open to what God, I'm so afraid to be embarrassed sometimes, mm-hmm. because, again, that deceitfulness of riches, the cares of the world, you're like, I don't want to lose my job, I don't want to do this here, I'm near the college, I don't want, you know, mm-hmm. it's always about, it's always linked to money, you know. And the, I'm sure there are a lot of Christians out there that have gone just ballistic, despite working in their workplace and actually. But I found even in the midst of that, it's you're not out of there until you're out of there. You know, until God wants you out of where you're at. So don't freak out if you feel that you need to maybe lay your hands on somebody and pray for them. Obviously, you're not spending your workday preaching all day long. But to be open for that opportunity. If we want a clear direction, we must be in his word. We talk about church vision. The word will lead us to the vision. The devil is in the boredom-killing business. Satan spends more time, at least in the U.S., devising pleasure for you than actual encumbrance. Most of his mission is getting the pleasures lined up, which require mammon, which require labor and work. So he'll keep you busy and in pleasure. So he's big on employment, overtime, pleasures, and money. It's funny when you think, when you look at the history of the church back to Israel, it's God who brought the hardships, the judgments on Israel. I'm sure Satan, again, was totally okay with the orgy in the midst of the golden calves. He was okay with the false prophets declaring peace and safety. He was okay with the money changers making obscene profits from sales of sacrificial items in the temple during Jesus' day. It's God who overturns the money tables, who brings the sword and the famine to wake up the church. Don't always assume that it's an attack from the devil. It might well be the merciful wake-up call of God's to God's beloved. The lack of should draw us to him. Problem today, you can lack money and still find sin. Sin is cheap and at discount prices. Pornography is free, food is cheap. The comforts of home are pretty much, there's a lot of comforts for very low prices. Like I said, all across the U.S. you can find a lot of, I mean, this thing right here, this phone, it's getting cheaper for the average Joe. Mm-hmm. I was looking, I think I was driving downtown today, and I saw I was in the worst of the... It somehow led me into some severe ghettos of Chicago, and I saw guys like, you know, give me money, I need money, you know, signs, but yet they're on their phone. Like, oh, look at that. Galatians 5, 22, 23, for the fruit of the Spirit is... Well, here's the fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithful, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Boy, that's relieving. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit is success, money, providing for your children. You know, it doesn't say anything about pleasures of this life. Again, examine your soil. Is it soft? Is there a root of bitterness or thorns? How deep do you allow your roots to lay hold of God? Father God, I just thank you for the message tonight, Lord. Lord, you put it upon our hearts here, Lord. If there's anybody who needs prayer tonight, God, for this reality, Lord, we need to pray as a group here. Your kingdom come, your glory, Lord. We pray, Lord, we're never going to change if we don't see your glory, if we don't experience you daily, God. What are we going to be joyful about, God? What are we going to run out the door and proclaim? What are we going to preach? What are we going to say to people? Guess what? You know, you should repent. Well, why should I repent? Well, because Jesus is awesome. God is incredible. You know, he's done this, this, and this in my life. Lord, if we detach ourselves from you and we are okay with religion, God, we're no better than any of these other warnings, God. There's no more warnings in the Bible than is religion. The people that had a good time goings along, or I should say, you know, enjoying their time with Jesus were the unbelievers, or at least the ones that weren't really proclaiming to be righteous, God. And we as believers proclaiming to be righteous by your blood, God, are we that religious people, God? So, God, I just pray for everybody here, Lord. This is an encouragement. Lord, help us not to be so concerned with the world. Let it not choke us, Lord. There's those two types, God. I pray we could be a church changed over, Lord, from that you'd pull all the thorns out of our lives, God. That we not worry anymore, and those thorns and those thorns would just die, God. And again, you can come in, Lord. You can break up the ground. We pray, bring your living waters to break up the ground. Help me, God. Help. All I can do is pray, God. Miracles in the midst of our personal prayer time, God. Supernatural encounters, Lord. Lord, continue, God. We pray, even as we prayed last night, to continue to judge us, God. I think of that prayer by a man who's now suffering blood cancer and going through the the surgery coming up for his hernia, Lord. He asked you, he screamed out to you to judge him. I mean, that's bold, God. But yet we know that it's what's needed, God. So I pray, Lord, we would not be caught on that day that we found out that we just wasted our way of life away in pleasures, Lord. And we just pray of one mind and one heart, and you are the head of this church. So those neurons that go down to the body and tell the body to do from the head, God, we pray that connection again, God, to what are we to do as a church, God? How do we, you know, are we to equip? When do we go out and outreach? Where do we go and outreach, Lord? Bring forth that vision, God. And again, Lord, we just pray provisions for our church, Lord. It'll be when we dedicate ourselves, Lord, to the kingdom, that the provisions will be provided. And we are lacking right now, God. We're having all types of really weird times, Lord. So it's a limbo period. But I pray, God, and I believe you're going to break through soon. So, God, we just pray for those that didn't make it out tonight. We just pray healing upon them. We pray just your hand, God, upon them to really throw out all this garbage, God, in Jesus' name. And again, if anybody needs prayer, just come on up.